So now we're going to get into Acts Now, Speak the Word. Acts Now, Speak the Word. But before we go to Acts, let's go to Romans, please. Romans chapter 10. Acts Now, Speak the Word. We're going to look at records in the book of Acts that show the importance of speaking God's Word. But before we dive in over there, let's read Romans chapter 10 and Romans 10 and in verse 14. These verses show the importance of speaking God's word. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not what?
Believe.
And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what?
Heard.
And how shall they hear without a what? Somebody's got to talk about it. Somebody's got to talk about it for other people to hear it. And when other people hear it, then they can believe it. But if people are going to believe it, they got to hear it. And how are they going to hear it unless people talk about it? And I think we have a great knowledge of God's word, and it's a great thing that we could talk about it. Behind me here is this. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want people to believe, they have to hear it. And we sure know a lot about God's word so we could speak it. So we're going to look at, I think, three records here today in God's word to show the importance of speaking the word. Very simple. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4. I know this was covered yesterday, but we're going to cover it maybe in a little different light. And over this week, I would imagine in different people will hit the same verses and maybe hit them in light of what they're emphasizing, which is cool because there's a lot in God's word and you could see it from different angles. But in Acts chapter 4, this was after the day of Pentecost, I think, wasn't it? Okay, just checking. It was after the day of Pentecost. It was also after the man from the temple gate got healed. And there was quite a buzz in the town there. In Acts chapter 4, and in verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So these guys were speaking in the temple. They were there speaking the word. And why were the Sadducees so sad, you see? Why? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why. Now watch. So these dudes were around there and the Sadducees. And they were grieved because that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, what? The resurrection of the dead. And these people didn't believe that, and that's why they were so sad, you see. And they were annoyed that Peter and John and whoever else was there, if they were doing that, that was a no-no. So they laid their hands on them and ministered to them. And no. They laid their hands on them and put them in a hole the next day, and it was even put them in jail for talking about the resurrection. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So that's just the men. So it had grown a lot from then. So Peter and John in jail. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Okay, I know you could get on the internet and talk about, and you see, like, if you're pregnant, you want to get popular names. Like, what's the latest name? Is Annas and Caiaphas, are they like on the list of popular names? Annas and Caiaphas. Where have you seen those names together before? Annas and Caiaphas. Annas and Caiaphas. Caiaphas and Annas. Annas and Caiaphas. There's a book that we have called Jesus Christ, Our what? Passover. And if you remember, when Jesus Christ was captured, there were two high priests that year. One was named Annas, and the other was named what? Caiaphas. So if these are the same guys here, these dudes had mega juice. Were they all that loving to the Lord Jesus Christ? They were involved with some deep stuff that went on. So these guys, Peter and John, they didn't go before the, you know, the Women's Auxiliary Society of the whatever. They were going before these religious leaders that had some mega juice, and they did not like Christianity. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole." And as Jerry read last night, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you guys did what? Oops, mistake. Who you crucified, whom God raised him from the dead, even by him, does this man over here, does he stand before you whole?" So those were the facts. The facts were this guy is healed. And then Peter tells him, "Look, it's because of this guy you crucified, Jesus Christ. God raised him from the dead, and that's what happened." So they didn't like that. Verse 15, they didn't like that, these guys. Verse 15, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council," the Sanhedrin there, "they conferred among themselves," had a little powwow there. What are we going to do with these dudes here? Because we don't like what they're saying. So let's see. Verse 16, saying, "What are we going to do to these guys? For indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it's manifest to all them that dwell in" where?
Jerusalem.
And guess what? We can't do what? We can't deny it. Those are the facts. Jack, that is what happened. So if we can't deny it, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if we can't deny it? Okay, verse 17. What was their plan? Their plan was, "But that it spread no further among the people." What were they planning to do? They wanted to stop the spread of Christianity in Jerusalem. That it spread no further. What are we going to do? How can we stop them from spreading this? Are we going to take their Bibles away? Why couldn't they? They didn't have Bibles. Going to take their hamburgers and hot dogs away? Probably not. These guys were thinking, and what were they thinking? They wanted to stop the outreach of God's word. Smart guys, probably, and they had a little meeting. They wanted to stop God's word from moving. What was the plan? "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." What was the plan? The plan was to stop the spread of God's word, was to get them afraid so they wouldn't open their mouth and speak. If people are going to believe, they have to hear. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And if that preacher is afraid or the preacher ain't preaching, then nobody's going to be hearing. Look at that. That was the plan by these devilish men, to stop the outreach of God's word, to motivate them by fear, by threats, to convince them not to speak. Does it happen today?
No.
It sure does. People get afraid. People get afraid. Or, oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to speak. I've got important things to do. And if we don't have time to speak God's word, what do we have time for? If we don't have time to minister deliverance to people, what do we have time for? Some of you guys at the hotel saw this guy last night. He's in a wheelchair. And, you know, so a bunch of us walked in the hotel and he goes, hey, what are those books you got there? And I said, a Bible. And I didn't want to witness to him. I just wanted to go up in the room. And I was trying to walk, you know, and I just was tired. I wanted to go upstairs. And he goes, well, that's the best book around. And then he continues to talk. So I said, I can't pass this up, you know. So, you know, he was just begging me. He had a sign on his chest, witness to me. So we had a good talk. I don't know if he'll ever go to fellowship, but, you know, he's a Jewish guy, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere in his life, and he didn't know a lot about the Bible, and he was blessed, you know, and I know some of you other guys talk to him, too, and he's interested. We'll see where it all goes, but, you know, we blessed him with God's word, and that's really cool, you know? But what's the trick? The trick is, let's not speak the word. Here it was fear. But in our lives, it could be fear. Oh, what's Anita going to think of me? Or what this? Or maybe I don't have time. Or I don't have time to under-shepherd anybody. Well, man, if you don't have time to under-shepherd people, what are we doing here? Really? Really? You know, some of us were in the Turks and Caicos. And, you know, Lita and I went out to dinner. And we witnessed to this lady there who waited on us. And, you know, Bob has an online fellowship. He has a few of them there. And, you know, some of you are the online fellowship that I do. And this lady from the Turks and Caicos, you know, she's been listening to the teachings online. And Lita's been under-shepherding her a little bit. So it's not like every day you go out witnessing, but every day we are witnesses, right? And no matter where we go, it can come out of our mouth. Right? It can come out of our mouth. And it should come out of our mouth if we're excited. But look at this. Back here it says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. Then they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Another reason to speak the word. What's what God wants? Verse 20, it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have what? Sounds like they were pretty excited about it, right? They were threatening them. They just got out of jail, and there was Annas and Caiaphas and all these other guys, and they were trying to put fear in them, and they say, we cannot but speak the things which we are seen and heard. Take your Bibles, and look, we're coming back, but take your Bibles and look at Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, 32. Somebody stand up and read it. Please, somebody with boldness and love and commitment and heart and knowledge. Okay, Chris, way to go. Take a look. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?
All right. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? There's another verse in the Bible that says, out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the man speaks. Did you ever notice we talk about what we're excited about or pissed off about or whatever it is? Oh, soccer or basketball or man, that
falafel was good or something. Well, how about God and His Word? If we got a good dose of it on the inside, guess what? It's going to come out. It's going to run out of the mouth, because if that's what we got on the inside. Have you ever wondered what's in our hearts? You know, maybe we can, you know, go get an x-ray and you look inside and see what's in there. You know, probably a cheaper way than an x-ray to see what's in your heart is to see what comes out of our mouth. And that can be scary and disgusting. But if it's God's word that comes out of our mouth, that's a good indication what's in our heart. If it's the negatives in the world and the complaints and everything else, then that's what's coming out. And if we're really excited about it, man, that's what's going to come out of our mouth. And if you want it to come out, put a lot in. And then when a lot of it's in there, it just kind of runs out. And if that's what we want. And I think that's what we want, you know, that's cool. So look at that. The plan to stop the move of God's word was to put fear in people so they would not speak. The flip side would be, hey, let's speak the word, and then God's word could move. Pretty cool. Let's take a look at Acts 13, please. Acts 13. It's exciting to speak God's word. And sometimes you know, the least likely people that you would think would believe would believe. And it's fun to bless people with God's word. It's fun to love people. Sometimes when I witness to somebody, sometime I'll ask them this question. You know, if God could do something for you, what would it be? And that's not a bad question. You don't have to ask that all the time. You don't have to ask it at all. But you know, that's not a bad question, because if they answer that honestly, they'll tell you what's a need in their life. And then once you know what a need in their life, you know, and maybe they're not totally honest, they'll tell you, I need money. So then what you could say is, well, what do you need the money for? And then they could say, oh, well, then they might tell you. That's not a bad question to ask. You don't have to answer, you know, ask it. But it's not a bad question, because if they will answer that, then they might tell you what's in their heart. And you, by a few more questions, could get in there, you know. And we want to get to people's heart with God's word. Okay, so let's take a look at Acts 13. Here's another record, and we're studying the importance of speaking God's word. Acts 13, I mentioned this in the other teaching. This one, Paul was in Cyprus. Now, there were at the church that was in Antioch. By the way, Antioch was the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. He went on different missionary journeys from there. And there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there was a lot of leadership hanging out there in Antioch of Syria. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Revelation, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, it was God's will, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus is a country today, right? So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Lark. Verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister. All right, so they were speaking the word. And when they had gone through the isle, you know, Cyprus, they came to another place, and that was Paphos. And they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Harry Potter. So this was the original Harry Potter. Now, this guy had quite a background. He was a certain sorcerer. Well, we know he's playing for the wrong team, right like that. And he's a false prophet. Another check by his name. He was a Judean, and his name was Bar-Jesus. Quite an interesting individual there. And let's see what he was doing. And this dude was with, he was with the deputy of the country, and that means this guy was the Roman ruler of Cyprus. This guy had some juice. So this guy, Bar-Jesus, he was with the deputy of the country. And the deputy of the country, his name was Sergius Paulus. We're just going to call him Sergio. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, Sergio, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. That's kind of cool. Here's the guy, and in essence, he's the president of the country. Cyprus is a country today, but you know, he was the Roman leader of Cyprus. And Paul and Barnabas were there in the country, and they were speaking the word, and this guy, the president or the governor or whatever, you know, suppose Chris Christie called you and wanted you to go witness to him. Putting your political views aside, whatever they may be, that's kind of a cool thing. You can go hang out and you can witness to the governor. That's kind of cool. So here, one of, seems like this guy, Bar-Jesus, was around Sergius Paulus. He was around him. He had some juice. You know, in the Bible, we see sometimes, and in life, sometimes there's some very, very dark people who are around people that are big-time leaders. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Little whisper here, a little whisper there, a little influence here. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, a wise guy, good dude, seems, who called for Barnabas and Saul. Hey, this guy says witness to me, come on over, and desired to hear the word of God. Now, Elymaeus, who is this guy, the sorcerer, Harry Potter, but Elymaeus, for so his name's by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith or the right way of believing. So this guy here, he was next to this Roman leader. And what did this guy do who was obviously playing for the wrong team? He withstood them so this guy wouldn't hear God's word. In the first record we read, those people on the Sanhedrin, the so sad you sees, some of those guys did everything they could to stop the people from speaking. In this record, for a guy obviously playing for the wrong team, he did what he could to prevent this guy, these Sir Paul and Barnabas, from speaking to this guy. So this guy who was working for the devil, he didn't want God's word to go to this guy. Now let's see some more here. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, here's some more characteristics about this guy, and said, "Oh, full of subtlety, all mischief, thou child of who?"
The devil.
The devil. That's pretty deep. Looks like this dude too was about his father's business, to use a quote from another place. And said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" So this guy here, a child of the devil, Harry Potter, sorcerer, whatever, he did not want Paul and Barnabas to be able to speak the word to Sergius Paulus, who wanted to hear. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you're going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. he was playing on the wrong team there. Then the deputy, Sergius Paulus, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, word and works, he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. In one record, they did everything they could to prevent people from speaking. That's how they were going to stop the outreach of God's word. In this record, this guy who was born of the seed of the serpent, definitely playing hardcore on the wrong team, he did what he could to stop Paul and Barnabas from speaking to this man. And the true God did not stand for that. And this dude suffered some serious consequences. And look what happened. The Roman leader of this area that is now a country believed because he heard the doctrine of the Lord and he saw the power of God in operation. You know, God's word brings people life. And when we speak God's word, or when we, you know, say in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here to some devil spirit, those aren't just words. That's the word of God. Jesus Christ spoke the word of God. The apostle Paul spoke the word of God. We speak the word of God, and on the lips of believing, that stuff has power. How big do you see yourself spiritually? How big do you see yourself, Eddie? How big do you see yourself? How big? We're God's representatives here on earth. This is Acts Now, the first century church in the 21st. If we don't do it, who else is going to? How about Acts chapter 11, please. Acts 11. Very cool. Paul and Barnabas had some guts, and they went there, and that Sergius Paulus, he believed, and he saw. But look at how, you know, you see, the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. And in that record, we see a child of the adversary trying to remove God's word from the situation. You know, sometimes we have an expression, oh, you could witness to the next Apostle Paul. Have you ever heard that? And it's true, right? You could witness to the next Apostle Paul. Let's take a look at something very similar in the book of Acts. So we saw in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, that there was a certain town that was Paul's headquarters for the outreach of God's word. And that town was what? Antioch. It was Antioch. And we don't hear a lot about Antioch, but in the Roman Empire, Antioch was one of the biggest towns of the whole Roman Empire. It was a very, very important town. So we've seen from God's word that Paul's headquarters to the Gentile nations was Antioch. But I don't think we sometimes remember how all that happened. How did that get to be Paul's headquarters? But we saw in Acts 13:1 that there were a lot of these leaders there, and then God told them by a vision that they needed to go on this itinerary. And if you have maps, some of you like maps, by the way, maps. Maps are your friend. You can look at the itineraries of the Apostle Paul, and they start from Antioch in Syria. But how did we get to Antioch? Let's take a look at Acts 11, please. Acts 11. We don't talk about Antioch very well, very much rather. Acts 11 and in verse 21, it says, something was going on there in Acts 11:21, and it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number in Antioch turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Hey, some great stuff is going on up there. Barnabas, why don't you go over there? You know, take some folks over there so you have some safe travel. Go up there and go check it out. See what's happening up there. All right. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad. Wow, he saw the grace of God. Why? Because there were Gentiles who were believing. And he was glad, and he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And this guy Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of believing. And much people in the city of Antioch were added to the Lord. And then, you know, things were gone so great. You know what he did? Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And if you're kind of familiar with those maps, Tarsus is really not that far from Antioch. So Barnabas goes to Antioch. Things are going great there. And then he says, well, I'm going to go get my buddy Saul. And if you remember, Barnabas and Saul were together before in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9. So, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians, where?
In Antioch.
At Antioch. So, what have we seen so far? Antioch became the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. His missionary journeys, his itinerary started from Antioch, and they went the first journey, the second journey, the third journey. Some of you probably have maps that'll show you those things. They started from Antioch, and there were a lot of leaders there at Antioch. Antioch might have been the third or fourth biggest city in the whole Roman Empire, and it eventually became the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. How did that get started? Well, there were some people there that were believing, and then Barnabas went there and checked it out, and wow, he saw the grace of God, saw Gentiles believing, and that was really cool. And then what he did, he went to get Paul, who didn't live all that far away. Remember, Saul was from Tarsus, and Tarsus is not that far from Antioch. So he winds up there, they stay a long time there, and then, wow, all these people believe, and that's where they're first called Christians in Antioch. So how did that really get started, though? How did these people believe originally in Antioch? Let's take a look here at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and let's see how this started. Acts 11 and verse 19. Acts 11, 19. Now, and when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Whoa, the persecution that arose about Stephen. When did that happen? Acts chapter 8. That's a long time ago. Acts chapter 8, and there were some dudes there that were scattered abroad. They went other places. Now we know in Acts 8, you know, they were scattered abroad and they spoke the word and whatever. This looks like some more scattering. Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, and where was that? What town was that in? New Brunswick? Where was the persecution about Stephen?
Jerusalem.
That's kind of a long way. And when they were scattered abroad about the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix. Now in the Bible, Phoenix is Phoenix, Arizona. Take and write that in there in your Bible. No, Phoenix means Phoenicia, and Phoenicia is more or less the place of Lebanon. All right, rose about Stephen and traveled as far as Phoenix, now they're in Lebanon, and Cyprus,
and Antioch, and these dudes, they were preaching only to the Jews, only. Why? Because they were on the leash, and that's what they did, and that's kind of what they always did. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene. Some of these dudes were from Cyrene. Where have we heard Cyrene? Cyrene. I read something that Dr. Werwell wrote. It was, who bore the cross of Christ? What was his name?
Simon.
Simon. And where was that guy from?
Cyrene.
Cyrene. You know where Cyrene is? North Africa, Libya, the home of Muammar Gaddafi and other people. So he was from Cyrene. Here's some dudes from Africa that were believing. Look at this. As far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but Jews only. Verse 20. And some of these guys, they were from Cyprus and Cyrene. They're North Africa. Which, when they were come to Antioch, they spake the word to the Grecians, to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. There were some dudes, they were scattered abroad, and they were just out speaking the word. Do you think it was like a burning desire in their mind that they really thought, gee, this is going to be the headquarters for the outreach of the word to the Gentiles? And it doesn't really say that here. They were just out speaking the word at the restaurant, or they were at the synagogue, or whatever they were doing. They were speaking the word to wherever. They were scattered abroad speaking the word. Little did they really know, guess what they really were doing? They began the work which led to Paul and Barnabas going there, which led to the headquarters of the Apostle Paul, to the Gentile ministry, the great outreach of the word in the book of Acts. And here were some dudes scattered abroad, and they were speaking the word. And what they did, they started the ball in motion for the headquarters of the Apostle Paul. They didn't witness to the next Apostle Paul, but they opened the town where his headquarters was going to be. You know, the doors we walk through today open doors for us tomorrow. The doors we walk through today open doors for us tomorrow. And if we don't walk through those doors today, some of the doors that could have been open aren't open because we didn't do it. Look at this beautiful record in God's word. And it's not a record that we teach all that often. 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. What a cool record. They were scattered abroad. These dudes from different places, some of them from Cyrene in North Africa. And guess what happened? A great number believed. Barnabas went there. Paul winds up going there. Other leaders wind up there. And guess what? That was the headquarters for the Gentile outreach, because a few of these dudes opened their mouth and talked. Pretty cool. And one of my favorite things here, Acts chapter 17, please, to close. Acts 17, to close. Paul was in Athens. Athens was a very religious town, if you know what I mean. Some famous dude back then said, there were more gods in Athens than there were people. That's quite an interesting statement. So in Acts chapter 17, Paul was there in Athens, and he was there with all the gods and, you know, kind of by himself there in Athens. In verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the whole city given to what? That was a dark place.
the whole town. There are more statues in Athens than there were people, according to this one individual. It's not in the Bible. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He was annoyed about this. So what did he do? He stayed home and he drank Jack Daniels all night long. It's too dark in this city, man. I ain't going out there. I'm scared. I'm going on the internet looking at some stuff. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And you know, sometimes you look at the world and, wow, this stuff is dark. So what did he do? Therefore, disputed. He opened his mouth. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. What did he do? Because he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, he spoke God's word. So, great vision in God's word in the book of Acts. And we saw some records here that talk about the importance of speaking God's word. We saw in Acts chapter 4, they did what they could to put fear in them so they wouldn't open their mouth. In Acts chapter 13, there was Sergius Paulus and there was Harry Potter, and he did what he could so that Paul and Barnabas would not speak to the Roman leader of that place. But God prevailed in that situation. In that record in Acts chapter 4, 2, they said, we cannot but speak the things which were seen and heard. In Acts 11, there was that place called Antioch, and those guys just were scattered abroad, and they were just preaching the word. And guess what happened after a series of events? It became the headquarters of the Gentile outreach in the book of Acts. And lastly, Paul was in a place that was very religious, very dark, and all these statues, and it was wholly given to idolatry, and Paul went and he spoke God's word. I know that we can help people, and I know that we have a great knowledge of God's word, and we can help bring deliverance to God's people. And the more we do it, the better we get at it, the bolder we are, and we can help to bring God's will to pass in this, our day and time. If the word's gonna move, it takes someone to move it. It ain't gonna get done unless no one will do it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for taking care of us and for this wonderful summer camp that we're involved with. And thanks for giving us your word and giving us a godly vision, Father, that we can help folks and minister to them. And thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who did all the work for us, Father, that we can bask in what he did. Thank you for this. And Father, I pray for your word to live in this our day and time, and for your word to spread. Thank you for this, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, thank you very much.
Wow, that was really an education for me. Man, that was something. Jeez, those two teachings, let's go home. Man, oh man, that was great, Steve. Thank you so much for sharing the word there. So great. Gee whiz, it gets tears in your eyes, you know, it's just like, that's what a man's life is worth. You could pick anybody apart you wanted to. Start with me. But boy, the word that lives in the hearts and lives of people that are able to present God's word like that. Should anybody touch Steve Zalesi, I'll break their necks. So it's just tremendous. I was thinking about whatever you said a lot of things. You know, it's like, oh, about Antioch. you know, like Antioch, they weren't planning on that being the headquarters. But for example, you know, like when Dr. Werwell went to California, the House of Acts, he was going because he was interested that there were people so interested in the Word of God. I don't think, maybe he did, you know, I don't know. But what happened there was, boom, thousands and thousands of people, thousands of people got in God's Word because of that visit. I don't know that he was planning on that. He wanted 50 faithful people. That was his first goal, 50. If he could have 50 faithful people. You know, I mentioned this guy yesterday, Howie Aramian, who lives now in, I don't know what city he's in, North Brunswick. You know, his life is responsible for thousands of people, thousands from that one man's life. Thousands. Howie Aramian. Next time you see him, think of that. You know, it's, and you know, when me and Joyce moved to Milltown, I think that the Puskars were the only believers in Milltown. I never planned on Milltown Outreach, I can tell you that. There's only four people there anyway. And boy, it's just loaded with believers now. And it's not because I've invited them all to move there. Even my neighborhood, my block, has 25 or 26 believers on it. It's amazing. You know, and I didn't sit there praying for my block to be filled with believers. God moves. He moves, boy. And you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. You got to have a humble heart and a willing mind. Because almost all the time, the things that God wants will not line up with your sense knowledge. So, thank you. Man, what a teaching.